Well, Jorge Guerra, thank you for joining me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you to you.
You're celebrating a kind of a sad anniversary this year.
Yes, I don't know if we celebrate them, but we commemorate, yes, what happened in 73, for sure. Mm-hmm.
When did you arrive in Canada? What day was it? Do you remember the day?
Yes, I remember the date. I come here in the 12th of January, 1974.
Right in the middle of the winter and the beginning of a new year.
Exactly. I arrived here after we passed 1 month in the embassy of Canada in Chile. Then we arrived at the embassy the 12th of December, 73.
So you spent Christmas in the embassy that year?
Yes, and the new year too, yeah.
Tell me about the beginning of the change of your life in Chile. How did things change?
I think it was a progressive thing. It was not, for sure, the putsch was a big change. But yes, I was very young in this time. I was 20. And my political life started around 70 years old when I was in the secondary school. Then I started to militate in the Socialist Party in Chile. And I was very soon a kind of leader for the youth in the university. And I was in charge of that until I was a little sick and I need to leave for some months. But I started very active in the Socialist Party. Then when the push arrived, I was very implicated. I was very implicated with the student movement and with the social movement, particularly in the poor neighborhood where I work. And the push, for sure, was... we expected something like that a little later, but not so early. And we didn't knew how bloody was this kind of action. Anyway, we didn't expect it was so dangerous, how it was in reality. Then when the push arrived, I passed, I can say, to the clandestinity because I could not show me because I was well known at the level of students and they looking for all these kind of people. And I was working also as a teacher, a biology teacher in a commercial institute in my city in Valparaíso. And I didn't present myself during this period to the school because I knew they will denounce me because the director doesn't like me because of my political position. And then I avoid to go to this school. And in October, in the middle of October, I was detained for during 3 days in the Academy of Academia de Guerra of Valparaíso, that is from the Chilean Marines. When I was there, the interrogation was about the denunciation against me. And this denunciation was, I suppose, coming from the school where I was working because it was related to that. Then they say I was teaching the students about the communism, and I was teaching them to make bombs, etc., etc., etc. And then I was interrogated for several hours the second day when I was in this academy.
Were any of those accusations true?
The accusation was this denunciation. The accusation was I was member of, in this time we call that Escuela de Guerrillas, guerrilla school. And I was training people and I was organizing the students in the communist way. But that is was, and I was also supposedly wounded or I have hidden somebody was wounded in my house. That is what the principal accusation. I answered negatively about all these accusations, but they put electricity to me for around 3 or more hours. After that, they stopped and they put me in another room. And the next day, they come to me to recognize my thing, and I was sent into the ship because after we were detained in this academy, they send the people for 8 days in this time to be beaten in general during this all this day in the ships, and after they come back again in the academy to be tortured in the academy. Then that it was the cycle, I can say, of interrogation they did. But in my case, in the third day, they asked me to recognize my thing. I was thinking they will send me to the ship, but they didn't. And they put me out. And I left the academy. Also, I knew they will start again to looking for me. And was the case, 1 week after, they surrounded all the area where I lived with my wife and my baby in this time. And they surrounded all the area, and they picked another person also in the area. I was a leader of the teachers. But I was not there because I was talking with my wife, and I talked with the people where I live, and I say I will leave because I cannot stay. If they pick me again, they will kill me. Then I left my city, finally for the capital. It was 145 kilometers, Valparaíso, from in the north of Santiago. Then I left for Santiago, the capital. And with the contact with my party, because we're still in the clandestinity with some contact with the Socialist Party. And also I had contact with the Federación Latinoamericana de Ciencias Sociales, that it was an organization working with UNESCO. With that and the church also, we live with this contact to Santiago with other people. We were 5 people. And then finally, I get in the embassy. That it was, I left, I think, at the end of October, beginning of November. And in December, the 12th, we entry in the Canadian embassy. Generally, we provide, the organization working with us, provide our names before to the embassy. And they accepted 55 persons. Between the 55 was myself.
Did you know much about Canada before going into that embassy?
Not too much, really. To be sincere, not even. It was very funny because all my primary school I did in the school in Valparaíso, my city, was the name of Republica of Canada. And then I was there. It was a public school, number 40. But it was generally, they give a special name also from a country in the world. And in my case, it was Republic of Canada. Then that was my first contact. Then I knew the hymn of Canada in Spanish, and I remember something until now about. But I didn't know too much about the country itself. I hear something in the 70s about what happened in Quebec, the situation, but it was very very confused, I can say, with the information we had in this period. Then my information was very basic in this case, where the place I was living to live after the putsch.
When you were in the embassy, was your wife and child with you?
No. We were a set of 55 person, but all the people was supposedly accepted because we were persecuted. In our case, was only myself. But the embassy do all the operation with the church also to find our families, and finally the family meet us in the airport when we were leaving.
So your wife and child got to come with you?
Yeah, they come with us, they meet us in the airport, and we come together to Canada.
What was it like living in the embassy for that month? How did the Canadians treat you? Were you trusting them? Did you see a future?
It was difficult because first we were too much people. We were 55 people together, and in 3 or 4 big, not very big, but middle rooms. And then we started to be a little claustrophobic, I think, after 1 month. That it was a little problem. And the relation with the embassy was maybe with 2 or 3 persons from the embassy. Between them, for example, was the first secretary of the embassy, Mr. Mark Dolgen. He was very, very nice with us. He was a progressive person, very open-minded. And also the secretary of the staff there, I think was Maria Mana, if I remember well, who take contact with us generally to provide information about our family or all these kind of things. But with the ambassador, ambassador was very, very seldom when we meet him, and he was not very happy, I think, to have us into the embassy anyway. The ambassador of Canada, Mr. Andrew Ross, was one of the first ambassadors in the world who recognized the military junta in Chile. That it was around 1 week after the putsch, was the first country to recognize the putsch, the junta. Mr. Ross provided information, eventually was considered false in the diplomatic system of Canada, and he was removed from his position, with the special commission was sent to investigate the situation in Chile. This commission was in charge of Mr. Potvin, André Potvin, who was the second, the ambassador after was Mr. Rowe was removed from his position. Then, as I say, the relation with that was very seldom. We saw maybe 2 or 3 times, no more.
And how did you finally get out?
To get out from the embassy, but finally the Chilean government gave salvoconducto, I don't remember the name in English, sorry, the papers to go out from the country, official papers. They authorized that only 1 month after. That is was the reason we leave 1 month into the embassy. And then we left in the 12th of January, 74, for Canada, and was we come in the a special flight, was a military airplane, and we come everybody there with our families. From the embassy until the airport, we were escorted by the ambassador and the first secretary and other personnel from the embassy, and in, I think, 2 or 3 buses with the flag of Canada over the buses. And just to be considered as a territory of Canada during this trajectory and the airport. And military was everywhere now, for sure. But also, some people, I remember, when we go out from the embassy, some people was there, maybe 100 person, related, some of them related to our families, other people only by solidarity, just to say goodbye to us. They were there anyway, even with this repression during these days. Same thing in the airport. Some people was waiting for us in the airport. I think also around 100 or around that person also to say goodbye to us when we leave the country.
So you had to say goodbye to your parents?
No, I didn't. My parent was in Valparaiso. And for sure, generally we say to our close family not to come because they will be exposed to the...
They'd be in danger.
Taken picture, recognized by the junta, and after persecuted when we were not there.
So have you gone back to Chile?
I could not come back during 20 years, until the almost 20 years, 17 years, until the junta was left, because my name was put in a list. At the beginning was 36,000 people put in the list. This list appeared in El Mercurio in the 80s. Saying all these people cannot return back to Chile. This list was diminishing in the time, little by little, but I still, until the end, we were 4,000 something people. In 85, I think, I asking for a special permission to the military government to come back to Chile. And they didn't answer immediately. They answered around 88, I think, or 89, then when the junta was leaving anyway. And after I come to my country in 93, what it was the first time after the putsch I could come to my country.
And what was that like for you?
Was, for sure, was very painful, I can say. emotionally, even if rationally you see, you think about, and you are prepared to all this kind of change you will see in your country after 20 years in my family. Anyway, I didn't see my brother or my sisters for 20 years. Then they grow up. I didn't recognize them. They didn't recognize me. Was very emotional moment when I meet them for the first time after 20 years. And also I was walking, I remember, in my city, in the street, with a little crazy ideas in the head, I don't know. But I was looking around if I can recognize somebody, but it's almost impossible. 20 years after, it's almost impossible. People were changed. I was changed too. And for sure, almost all my generation was outside of the country. Then now we are around 1 million people originally from Chile living outside of the country. And then was something very emotional, but not really very rational. And it takes some weeks before I could start really to understand a little more my country and try to find a way, to find information, and to talk with people. Then it takes time. Emotionally, it was hard the first weeks.
But Canada is home now.
I can say after this experience, because until this experience I was for the first time in my country, I was dreaming, I can say, all the time to come back to Chile and to stay there. After that, I put maybe more water in the wine, and I can say today I am sure. When I am in Chile, I miss some aspect of Canada. When I am in Canada, I continue to miss some aspect of my original country. Then I think, like exiled people, when you are forced to leave the country, it's difficult emotionally to find a definitive place for you in the world. You still partage it between the reality where you lived before you left the country and the new country was welcoming you to live here in peace.
But now your children are here, and this is their home.
Yes, I have three children. The three live here. But anyway, they have a close relation to the country. They are traveling sometime to Chile. My younger one is traveling all years, and now is married with a girl from Chile, too. Then he's still very close to the country.
It's quite a story. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think for the human side was very amazing, as I think it's amazing for all refugees, people from different places in the world.
When you meet other refugees in Canada, no matter where they're from, do you feel a bond?
Yes, I not only meet people here. I work in when I arrived from Chile at the beginning, because all this ambiance in Quebec was very welcoming to us. We learned French very quick. Then in 3 months, we could discuss and we could share with people our experience. And that is helping us also to helping other Chileans coming after us. Because in this time, for example, the process of refugees was not established in Canada. It's starting to be established with the Chileans. Not because we were so important, only because before that was only people coming from communist countries was accepted almost directly as immigrants, but was not established a process to be accepted as refugee. Then we started with the process. And I think after us, after the Chilean was coming, other people from Latin America too, was coming people from Colombia, coming people from Brazil, coming people from Argentina. Then all the dictatorship was there in at the end of the 70s and the 80s, and only in the 90s they started to come back in the democracy again, or almost all Latin America. Then yes, I was in contact with refugees from different countries in Latin America, and I founded some organization. For example, I founded and continue to exist today in Codenish. I founded the Asociación Latinoamericana de Codenish. Latin American Association of Codenish, and still working today. No more really accept in Latin American refugees, but open to the other countries, people from Arabic countries, people from ex-Soviet Union, etc. That is the new client, I can say, the new beneficiaries of these kind of services. And also myself, I was working for almost, I can say, almost more than 10 years outside of the country in humanitarian mission. Starting to work in 98 in Rwanda, and I was in Afghanistan, and I was in several places working with refugees and displaced people. And I think that is because I was very affected by my personal experience before, and that is why I was looking for some experience like that.
Who did you do that work with, going to Rwanda and...
Generally, in Rwanda, for example, I was working with the United Nations, with UNHCR. Then was working directly with the displaced people there, and also with people who was coming back from their exile after the massacre in 94. Around 1 million people lived for all the countries around Rwanda. And Rwanda is a very small country anyway. And then all these people, after they signed some agreement, I think was in 97, then the country, they will favorize, supposedly, to Rwandan people living in this place to come back. In reality, they push all the Rwandan people outside in the border and they send back to Rwanda. Was not very very voluntary repatriation in this case, but anyway we were there, tried to support them when they come to the country and establish some refugee camps for them until they can really come back to the place where they come from. Then that is was my work, my first work in the humanitarian mission.
And so now you're just working with the United Church on the refugee.
Yes, I continue to work with the Latin American community throughout United Church. Even if myself, I cannot say I'm a believer, but I believe in the work I do. I think it's important, this work. I think more and more it's difficult to find a place where you can really be close to these people in emotional and sometimes economical and social bad social condition, try to help them to be more integrated, to find a way maybe how can be living in a better condition in this country. And the government could, particularly this government, they could a lot about the subvention for different NGOs organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think the only place where you can find some support now is through the church, because the other organizations are really, really in very bad conditions.
Well, Jorge Guerra, thank you for telling me about it.
Okay, thank you very much.